It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, aware it might be International Week, but there are still some club issues on the go. Leah Labada is reportedly stalling on a new Celtic deal and could be sold in the summer. Ali McCoist believes Michael Beale has closed the gap between Glasgow's Big Two. And Dominic Hayam is called up to the Scotland squad for the first time as coach John Carver takes a pop at the training facilities at Orium. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
I went away for a couple of days, Gordon. I thought it'd be a quiet week that I was leaving you. And then I wake up to all sorts of VAR controversy at the weekend. What a weekend. I've missed plenty of action. I'm sure lots of supporters will have their opinions still on it as we're only on Tuesday. But we'll be looking ahead. Big game for Scotland ahead. Interested to see how we got on against Cyprus and then Spain to follow next week. Cracking week ahead.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Mark's quite right in saying that he missed a very exciting weekend. The one thing that we forget about is the football, the quality of football, the goals, the quality of goals. Obviously, VAR's taken over in the last couple of days with some decisions. But we're looking forward to Scotland at Hampden on Saturday, Gordon, 2 o'clock kickoff. Let's get a good result.
0141-951-1025. That is the number you need. So why not pick up the phone and put your point across to Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. We are here for you. Like we said, it is International Week, but we've still got a few days to go. We're definitely in that period of International Week where it's absolutely fine to keep looking at some of the club stuff, and then we'll intensify the Scotland build-up as the week goes on. In terms of the stories that are doing the rounds today, I know you Celtic fans might be interested in those reports this morning about Leah Labada reportedly stalling on a new Celtic deal, and suggestions that the club would then listen to offers for him in the summer. What would you make of that? What was your reaction when you read that? Or if you're just hearing it for the first time, what do you make of that? How keen would you be to keep him as a player? Is it a case of take some good money while you can? Or if you got some other view on it, please do let us know. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from some interesting characters. Ali McCoist's been speaking, for instance, talking about Michael Beale having closed some of the gap between the Big Two in Glasgow. And if you do want to look ahead to some Scotland stuff, well, what about Dominic Hayam? We'll tell you all you need to know about him. The Blackburn defender called up for the first time. And if anyone is interested in where Scotland do or do not train, some very strong comments today from John Carver about the pitch at Orium. He said it was a health hazard, I believe, and surprised that no players had been injured there. So Scotland this week training at Lesser Hampden. 0141 951 1025. So plenty on the go, Mark Wilson.
Certainly is. The first one you mentioned there, Abada, I think the Celtic fans' ears will prick up at the sound of that, because he's one that I think the Celtic fans have taken to, and I think quite rightly so. He's came to this country a young man and contributed a huge amount in 18 months, and I'm pretty sure the Celtic fans, or the majority, would like to see him stay. However, Ange Postecoglou does not hang about. He made that perfectly clear not so long ago, that they have to be agile in the transfer market, and that's players going out and coming in. And it showed with Giakoumakis and Juranovic that fans' favourites will get sold. And if Abada's the next one along the line, then I'm afraid for Abada's sake, he might be looking elsewhere. So tricky situation, but once again shows Ange Postecoglou is true to his word.
Yep, maybe that's something you Celtic fans would like to share your thoughts on. It's all well and good hearing what Mark and Gordon have to say, but I'd like to know what you make of it as well. So come on down, 01419511025. You'll have had a busy day, because I know you're a man that doesn't, you have got no hesitation in splashing your cash. If you see something you like, price is no object to you.
Correct.
You would never ask for a discount. You would just go. You would just
Stop.
We up nice and early trying to get your hands on the new Scotland top that went on sale today.
Yours for
£90, no less.
£90.
90 quid?
Yeah, for you.
Oh, that's lovely, though.
It's the best Scotland top I've ever seen in my life.
XL's 100.
However, 90 quid.
Extra stretch.
Well, let's. Who can send us some for us to try it?
See, I'm a.
Without us paying 90
this
quid.
This is only positive about being my age, Gordon. I don't think walking about with a Scotland strip on
I disagree. I think this one's got that wee bit of class about it.
I don't suit the shorts.
Honestly, I think this one's got a wee bit of class about it.
I do like it. It's lovely. But at my tender age, it's just maybe for you younger generation, not for me.
I genuinely tried to buy it, but it was sold out. So it shows you it was
really
popular. Yeah, it was. It was very popular. I tried.
If I know the SFA like I do, they'll send us some.
This is a high demand. You can't get them for love nor money now. Well, you can just a lot.
Yeah, but surely they're going to bring more out, and you can go
That is the best strip.
I did genuinely try, and it just, I got that heartbreaking message out of stock.
Sold out.
Yeah.
I mean, surely they must have foreseen how popular this was going to be, and just ordered loads of them. Surely.
I don't know.
Who's in charge of this at SFA? Get them on the phone.
Who's the kit man?
Anyway, I don't know how we got so distracted.
Not the marketing company.
01419511025. If you do have any thoughts on that, I mean, this show is a blank canvas. It's up to you. You could give us a call and let us know. It's not necessarily the route I thought we would go down, but by all means, it seems to have grabbed the attention of Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, so you can indeed get in touch and let us know.
I don't know if you'll know the answer, but I take it they're wearing it in this.
Yes.
Right, first game Saturday then they'll be wearing it against Spain.
No, I think it's three games in total. Right. It's getting worn.
And that's it?
Yeah, it's a special limited edition, isn't it?
Special.
They're charging 90 quid for it.
Don't get anything for cheap nowadays, Mark. You've got to pay full price.
Yeah. By the way, I can actually. People are now phoning about the Scotland strip.
Are they?
How
did this happen?
They might be phoning to say, look, we've got you three.
It wasn't necessarily the topic I had in mind, but then I guess that is the beauty of the.
Why?
Of the.
Let them
the
through.
Phoning. Why not?
Let's hear people slaughtering
90 quid.
Slaughtering Adidas. Or it might be worth it. You never know. Because, I mean, obviously it's popular enough and. If it's sold out, it's sold out. That would be some people's view on it.
See, if it's sounds your like birthday this week and I phoned up to get you that as a
hold
gift
on. It was his birthday last week,
yeah. I know, he just missed out on that in the week. I would have got him this week. I would have, but
anyway, right, look, whatever you've got tonight, 01419511025. Alan is in Greenock, wants to talk about the Scotland strip. There you go, Alan, take it away.
What's going on with the price, lads? 90 quid for an adult's top, 70 quid for the kids' top. I mean, you know, it's meant to be the working man's game, and what working man can afford that for their self and their kids, you know? They're pricing the fans out of the market with that sort of price. What's the deal with the SFA? Is it a collaboration deal with JD Sports? Who's putting that price on such a top?
Wow, there's a question, because I'm not an expert on anything, right? The commercial deals... Certainly not. What I would say, I think it's a safe bet to suggest that the SFA did not set that price. That would be my understanding of how these
surely
things work.
Surely not. I mean, I'm with Alan. Is it 90 quid just for the top? Not the shorts. I know we're joking. Not the shorts and the socks.
You got two of Hamden as well.
What are you struggling with?
Because
here?
I'm with Alan. I've never known a football strip to
agree.
Be £90.
I agree.
I did see it in a nice box. I mean, how much is that box
worth? I think that's
worth?
Even more. I think so. I'll let you double check that.
This is outrageous. Alan's right. Like, all joking aside, workman's game or whatever way Alan painted it, football fans will want this. It is beautiful. They marketed it brilliantly, where it was the slow release, where we saw snapshots of the pictures and the badge up close and then the big reveal and everyone, oh, that's great, let's get it. Oh, hang on, it's 90 quid. There's no way people can afford that.
I mean, this is the thing, Gordon. I don't think anyone needs an economics lesson from us, for goodness sake. That clearly sounds a lot. I can't stand here on the phone and say to Alan, that's not a lot, suck it up. I mean, for goodness sake, of course it's a lot of money at any time, particularly now. You know, people keep mentioning the financial climate that we live in. To the people who do set the price, and like I said, I don't believe it's the Scottish FA that set that price, they may well turn round this evening and say, well, it's sold out.
Yeah.
So there's the old supply and demand argument. Mm-hmm. And I get Alan's, I completely respect Alan's rebuttal, you know, maybe that's not the point, and how many normal people priced out of it, that's what I get that, but that may well be a predictable response, that if it's sold out, then that, you know, would answer it in one regard. Not necessarily comfortable with that myself, but
yeah, that doesn't give Alan any comfort, obviously. I totally accept that with Mark saying £90, if you've got maybe a couple of kids there and you're wanting to go along to the game, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. I feel for his supporters, but the argument, as you quite rightly said, Gordon, the people that are marketing that are saying, well, there's a demand for it, because you said you went to get one, couldn't get one. Yeah. You're prepared to splash your 90 quid out. But for a normal supporter, they're going along there and try to get a couple of kids ones as well, £70, I think that's a bit heavy.
I mean, Alan, is it the type of thing that you would have, would you have bought it? Are you the type that does? Would that put you off completely? What was the thought process today?
Oh, I was desperate. It's a beautiful looking top. I just feel that 90 quid, you know what? I'm not having that. It's not fair. Whether I can afford or not, I could probably afford it. I could get one, yes, easily, comfortably, but it's not fair. I can't see the justification between that top and any other top. I'd be interested, it's been sold out, yes, supply and demand. So how many did they release? Imagine how many more they'd sell if it was more reasonably priced. You know, how much would the SFA make off of having a more reasonably priced top than a limited edition prestigious, or is that a class top? I mean, you know, what is it? Are they just not interested in pandering to the working class people?
Yeah, and again, it's so difficult for us, I think, because I totally get that. It just seems a lot to me. And Talon's question of, you know, well, how many more would they have sold? I just don't know. It's such a hypothetical. Again, it comes back to, clearly there are still, rightly or wrongly, a lot of people who were willing to buy it and couldn't get one.
Yeah.
And as a more general point, I do feel like from the last time, or in the last couple of years, football tops generally have rocketed, but with this being
a limited anniversary,
the 150th anniversary top.
Gordon, you're right about football tops rocketing recently. You know, this is just the next level that you go to. I'm pretty sure in a few years, this will be the level for a lot of the club tops as well. They just creep up and creep up.
I mean, imagine you are a dad or a mum and you're buying it and you get the kids one as well and go along to the game at the weekend.
I know.
What's the normal? I can't remember what I paid for my mother.
Don't just laugh.
What's the normal price for a club jersey then?
Yeah, I mean, I think you
40 quid?
No, I think you're into the 50s and 60s. You're up some now. Places now, yeah.
Right. Is that right?
I think it depends, yeah.
So, right, okay, so 90 quid. It's a lot of money nowadays. I am so glad I'm old. I don't eke about wearing tops. I've still got my old woolly top, not the one I brought in. That'll do me. Keeps you warm.
That's baggy, that's for sure. I must admit, I didn't know this was a topic that was going to take off so much. But there we are. Thanks to Alan. What's Stephen and Coat Bridge got for us?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
I was just talking about the strip as well. So the full strip for an adult's £150. So, come on, see if you get, you're buying it. I'm not saying every adult's going to buy the full strip, but say you've got two or three kids, you're getting into crazy money there, 300-400 quid. Do you know what I mean? Not a lot of people can afford that kind of money. It's not on. I don't think they've really thought this through, and I know it's a very, very nice strip. It's probably one they've ever done, but it's just an astronomical price, and I don't agree. They've got to do something about that, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that there won't be anything done about it now, Mark, clearly. No,
no.
And the way these if you're in that business, you're bound to be of the mindset, and again, I'm not saying that it's right, but you're bound to say, we produced X amount and it's sold out, probably congratulating themselves, whoever it may be.
Well, Stephen just said there along the lines, I'm not sure, I have to know what they were doing. They obviously do. These marketing execs know how good a strip, know how good a product that was. They knew how to release it, how to tease people into seeing it, and then they put a high price on it, knowing fine well that it's a one-off, which is a shame, because the amount of horror Scotland strips we've had through the years, I would like to see our national team playing in that every get together and it being cheaper for the fans to enjoy it. But again, the supply and demand issue, it really is a shame, because Stephen makes a point there about having a couple of kids and the full kit. Who in their right mind is paying 150 quid for a full kit?
Then you need to go and get boots
and shinnies.
Yeah, you can't get the full kit 150 and walk about a pair of old boots. You need to get the full coppers on. That's another couple of quid. I would be wearing that every day. I'd be in here, everything. Golf, I'm wearing my shorts, my Scotland tap, and my Chinese on.
Without being too flippant about what is a serious issue, there's a name for adults that wear the full kit, isn't there, anyway?
You know what I mean? Benidorm, here I come.
Stephen, I don't know what's your experience. Do you, I think it says you're a Rangers fan, Stephen, do you buy replica strips there already? It seems to be getting sort of very costly across the board. Granted, not quite as much as this.
Yeah, well, I like the training tops more than the actual strips. I think the training tops are a lot nicer than the strips these days. So I go along those lines, but you're still 45, 50 quid just for a training top. And then it's just adding up. It's going up and up every year, the prices. And they're just, it's pricing people out of getting a full strip and getting kids full strips. And it's not the best.
Yeah, I wish I had more sort of words of comfort for people who feel that it's expensive, because I don't necessarily disagree. Mark, how could you? I think to everyone. I've not really seen anyone. I don't think you'll find anyone who says, no, it's not expensive. I think everyone sort of agrees. Some people just feel like it's worth taking
Full football experience now for the regular fan is getting priced in every aspect. Ticket prices going up, food prices at the game going up, travel included in that. You've got your strip if you're a supporter of a big club. They often release three strips. And then if you've got kids who want the latest strip, you're forting out for that. Now, this comes along, you want your kid to support the national team, get behind them, and you're 90 quid or 70 quid for a kid's one. It just doesn't add up, and I feel sorry for the normal football fan these days.
I'd be encouraging my kids, if I was younger, to be into badminton. There you go, shuttlecock and a racket. On you go.
I'm going to hire the coat.
That vest on. Don't give me any of your teeth. Yeah, I'll get
paint
that on.
I'll paint GBR on that. You'll be fine. On you go, darling.
Thank you to Stephen. It's 01419511025. If you've got something to shoot, did you get one? Did you try and get one? Was it sold out? Did you get your hands on one? Whatever. I must admit, this is why I love the show, because it's full of surprises. I did not expect us to be having a top of the show dominated by the price of a football strip, but you there we are. You decide to. If that's what you want to talk to us about, we're here for you.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at ClydeSSB. I bet you never thought the day you would hear Mark Wilson and Gordon DL banging on about supply and demand and whether football strips were priced appropriately. But there you are. Very, very popular topic on the phones. So it just kind of landed on us. And I do always try, possible, if that's what you lot want to talk about, then let's do it. I can more than happy with that. In terms of anything else that's out there, we'll hear from the Scotland camp a bit later on. Ali McCoist has been speaking about the perceived gap at the top of the table. There was a story in the newspapers this morning about Leila Bada perhaps stalling on a new Celtic contract and suggesting the club would be willing to listen to offers for him in the summer. So what do you make of that? 0141 951 1025. Be honest, did you two think that during that break someone would be in touch to offer you to the new commemorative top?
Well, before being the pundit, I surely must be.
Oh, well, you pass it on to someone that needs
He's a man of the people.
I'll put it out there for the listeners.
This is like it's not happened, by the way.
Oh, isn't it? Just in case the SFA are listening.
Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Neil is on the line. How are you, Neil?
Yeah, I'm all good. Thanks, all good.
Good stuff. What's on your mind tonight?
I just, from hearing the news segment, I doubt Gordon's heard it because he's always late in anyway, but the news segment beforehand, and then the price of Scotland top, it's unbelievable. How are parents, kids meant to enjoy a sport that everyone's meant to have access to and love? South Lanarkshire Council putting their prices up by 114%. Okay, that is ridiculous. When I used to pay to play football, it was £40 per month. If that went up 114%, I'd be spending £86-90 a month. I couldn't afford that to enjoy a sport that I absolutely love. It's a sport that's meant to be available to every single person, regardless of how much money you've got, what ethnic you are, what gender you are, anything, doesn't matter. It's a sport that's meant to be loved by everyone. And the prices that are coming out, or it's like we're just trying to stop people or milk as much as we can from everyone. And it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, this is the thing. This is sort of bringing everything into sharp focus because it does feel... And by the way, without us straying too far into territory, that's certainly not really for Clyde One Super Scoreboard, that it's called cost of living crisis for, you know, a reason. We're just talking about everything here, and then that's having its knock-on effect.
Yeah.
But then I'm sure there are examples of things that we could do better to try and then help people that need it. And Neil's right. If you've been listening to Clyde News throughout the day, a lot been done on the South Lanarkshire Leisure story, talking about, well, you know, having a 4 million budget gap, and then it's parents like Neil and other people, you know, clubs that are being hit, talk about, you know, 2 hour slots going from £20 to £54 for young kids. I think we've been hearing from a karate club even, you know, that's been on the go since 2008, talking about losing two of their venues because of the cuts. So not just football, talking about sort of leisure facilities in general. There's a whole list of them all across South Lanarkshire. There's petitions on the go. I think nearly 7,000 signatures on one, calling on the protection of children's football, and, you know, echoing some of what Neil says, talking about the significant role that grassroots football plays in well-being, mental health, citizenship, social skills of young children, and so on. And you might, I guess, see some of this. You obviously deal with it through the charity AR26 that you work for.
Yeah, well versed in it, Gordon. And Andy Robertson obviously recognised this during lockdown, and that's why he set up AR26 to give back to the children who basically don't have the accessibility to football, and because costs are rising or for whatever reason they can't get involved in it. But I see the picture of the cost rising that Neil's going on about. I see what it costs to hire a pitch for a certain time. I see what it costs kids to join paid football clubs and how they are now just dropping out because it's basically a choice for parents. Food, heating, or send their kids to the club. So AR26, that's what we are there to facilitate. So the football strips come further down the line. We want football to be as accessible and enjoyable for everybody. And part of that, getting back to the football strip, is kids having, you know, replicating their heroes by wearing the strips. Now, if they can't get anywhere near affording that, then where does it put football in Scotland? Is it only for the middle to upper class to be enjoyed, to be able to afford it, to be able to look like their heroes with their strips on? That's a sad state of affairs. It should be for everybody, and we're far, far away from that.
I'd be a bit more concerned, not about, you know, I totally understand you want the best boots, you want the best strips. My understanding listening to this is we might lose kids because the pressure on parents to pay the money to even get their kids to, you know, boys' clubs to training and pitches. And you see there, Neil talking about the increase to higher pitches, as Mark quite rightly knows, he deals with day in, day out. You know, it's such a burden, not a burden, a pressure on families now, especially parents, because you know what like is, as a young kid, all you wanted to do was play football. And if you're getting deprived of that, you're wondering why. And the cost of living now is killing people. And it's unfortunately, it's affecting every sport, not just football. You said there about karate as well. So we've got to look at every sport in Scotland just now. People are suffering, and we need to try and find a way for them.
Who thought you two would take on such a serious tone on the show?
Bring
we're
it
now,
on.
We're now
all subjects.
There is a lot feeding into this. It did start with the strip, Neil, didn't it? It was out today. What did you make of that? I mean, do you like it? Would you have bought it? Does the price put you off? Like, what's your feeling specifically on that?
To be fair, I'm sitting here driving down the road in my Rangers top. I'm driving down to Bolton. I've got my Rangers top on, and that cost me £65 at the start of the season. And even then, I was like to my missus at the time, this is disgusting. Like Matt said, when you were younger, you loved nothing more than pulling on the top that you of the team that you supported and carried on that you were your favourite player and running around after scoring a goal and celebrating, doing the cleansman down the grassy hill. It was love. That's just what it was. And to charge £90 for a limited edition T-shirt, it's just beyond me. I don't even understand. Even when it went up to £65 for your Rangers top, and it's like it's a lot of money. And I actually stopped buying the Rangers tops for a while when they were in a sports shop that Rangers weren't very friendly with. So I boycotted them for a while, and going back to buy my new Rangers top, and I went, the price is too much. It's just I can afford to pay it. I just think it's ridiculous that they're asking for that, because the markup they're probably making is phenomenal, and it's just the kids just want to be like Mark says, the heroes. They want to wear the strip of the club that they absolutely love, and they're pricing them out of it.
Don't do the Klingsman in a £90 Scotland strip. That would be my advice to you. I do get Neil's obviously making a more serious point, and it's like funny this, and it shows you the depth of feeling on it, because I keep repeating it. I'm genuinely surprised that you know, so many people are actually getting in touch to sort of share their feelings on it. And I know a lot of people did go out and buy it today, and well done if you got your hands on one. But
but it's a fine, it's just a tip, it's a fine point of what football is becoming. Neil makes a good point about the cost of the pitches and stuff, but the football strips rising and rising.
These feel a bit separate, right? I get why people feel like it's this big avalanche that's coming towards them. I do get that, but these do feel a bit separate in the sense that if you walk into the shop that's selling your strip, take a look at the price of the trainers that are across from the strip. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. That feels different to making sure that actual facilities are accessible and affordable for people. I'm not saying it makes it all right or whatever. And I get it, I repeat it for the 10th time. It feels like a lot of money to me for a football strip. But those feel like separate, slightly separate things.
There are, but I get what you're saying. It's still all under the banner of football that we want our kids to have similar upbringings to probably we did. I mean, football tops when I was younger were still expensive. However, they were achievable for my family who were working class. Now, I'm not sure that's the case for a lot of families. And the Scotland one is just, as I said before, is taking it to the next level. Now, I don't know who's to blame for it, but they obviously hit a market. They targeted a certain market that they've succeeded in that. But I tell you what, it's excluded much more people than it succeeded. So I think that's a problem. When we want our kids to support and get behind our national team, when we've created a product that is so, you know, above anything else that we've created, make it accessible for everybody, and it's not there.
Yeah, again, it feels like that's a complicated procedure, because you know, when you talk about we or who's, you know,
Who's going to set that price or whatever?
Yeah. I don't know, actually. I'm not too sure.
You've obviously got people that make the strips, you've got people that sell the strips, and then you've got the fact that, yeah, it's got a Scotland badge on it, and I get that, and that's why everyone's having their say, but...
Our listeners will know. Who's to blame?
No, but I don't know if it's a blame game. What I'm saying is, like, you know, I said to you earlier, I don't think it's... You see a lot of this on social media, like, you know, sort of lashing out, which is fine, because I get it, but, you know, I don't believe... The Scottish FA don't set the price of the strips.
No, that's what I mean. I don't think they are to blame. It's whoever's... Who's stalking it? Who's supplying it?
Well, you know what shops you can get them in, do you know what I mean? But again, I don't want to...
You're very subtle there. You're trying to work your way around this.
I want to know where you get it from.
Right next to the shop down there. Next door.
They're good trainers.
Here's the thing. I mean... Where's the tweet? Neil Fraser says, "Move over, Kieran Maguire. Your time as the go-to football finance expert is over. D.L. and Wilson have arrived."
I'm wearing a suit next week. Shirt and tie.
Anyway, there we go.
She was disappointed people care about
it. Very much. And by the way, the calls are still going, don't get me wrong. 01419511025. I can see some of you calling about Leo Labada as well, and that story about his contractual situation. So we can talk about that next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. I mean, fair play right to all the people, because this is where I'm sort of really question. I'm meeting broadcasting challenges tonight that I never knew existed. 6 years on this show, and I've never had to wrestle with, like, whether I'm allowed to read out all the people that are telling you where you can actually get the top that maybe will cost you a bit less, and question marks as to whether it's the real deal or not.
I was looking at that.
It sounds like a world I don't want to go into live to the nation.
I've got good lawyers.
I mean, of all the challenges that have cropped up on this show, I don't want to get sacked over promoting fake football strips. Do you know what I mean? That just sounds like a terrible way to go.
Remember them? You used to get one of them back for holiday. You're devastated. The name in the back was like in a rectangular box. That's
well, I remember like going to
I get a Romario one. I was devastated.
I loved them.
I went
to Italy when I was 10, and remember coming back with a Fiorentina one. Remember that with Mijatovic on the back.
Mijatovic, number 8.
It's quite niche, isn't it?
Did you? Aye, that is niche.
What was the other one? Just two random Italian teams, saying Juve or something. The other one.
My mum and dad went away with it this one time, came back with a Brazil one in the 94
era. I'd leave you up the road
My pal had the top of the range Brazil top. Beauty. And I says, "I want that." And they handed me this
74 World Cup.
They had the Romario one. The 94 one. It was 94. Beautiful. But they handed me this fake Romario one. I was embarrassed. See, wearing that. And my mate's standing there with the glistening yellow.
I don't think that was my thing, because you used to...
Of course
have,
not. You used to black and white football.
You used to have a strip and you have to pay for the letters and all that.
No, we still had
that. I'd have O. Celtic.
And you'd leave the H.
Just put O there. They'll know who it is.
Anyway, 01419511025. Another story doing the rounds today. It's not just the price of a Scotland strip, believe it or not. Story in the papers this morning that Leo Labada is reportedly attracting interest from Southampton, but this is in the back of stalling on a new Celtic contract. It was in the Daily Mail, first of all. I think most people will know, paid around 3.5 million for Abada, and suggestions that they would now, because of the contractual situation, just listen to offers in the summer. And the fees of about £10 million getting mentioned, but you never do really know. Let's bring in Jim, who's a Celtic fan. What do you make of that, Jim?
Good evening, Gordon, Mark, and Gordon. I'd like to commend Postecoglou, the Celtic board, everything like that, because we had with Juranovic and Giakoumakis. If people are dwelling on contracts and they're not happy, send them on. The man's cracked it. He keeps bringing in new people to replace them. And if they're not happy, wish them all the best. Been a great player, as the other two I mentioned have been. And just, yeah, take the money. Let's move forward. And Ange, we trust.
That's the thing, Mark. I have a tiny bit of sympathy, because obviously fans are much more important in these discussions, but I've got a tiny bit of sympathy at times for players because it can sometimes bring up this impression that Leo Labada's unhappy as such, or, you know, he's like moping around the place. He might be, but I've absolutely no idea. But it, to me, it seems like there's a big gap between, you know, being unhappy and being desperate to move, and quite simply not wanting to sign a new long term contract and maybe seeing if someone will buy you in the summer.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, especially when I think you've done your bit for the club, like Abada has. He's been here about 18 months, is it? Approaching 100 games, scored plenty of goals in that time, so a huge contribution. And if Celtic do manage to get 10 million for him, for a player that they bought for 3.5, around about that, then it's good business all round. They should go with the best wishes. But in Ange Postecoglou, Celtic have got a manager now. It's almost harking back to the old managers, where those guys dictated to the players what the ceiling was, what they were prepared to offer, and if not, then on you go. It went many, many years where players were the driving force with contracts and would have clubs over a barrel, and I'm not signing, I'll walk away when my deal's done for nothing, and clubs feared that, so they would give them long-term deals. It still happens, of course. Long-term deals on big amounts of money, and they don't produce and they kind of get rid of them. Postecoglou seems to be shaping that a different way.
To be fair, Gordon, this is a bit different, because if he does leave in the summer, he's still got over 3 years left on his Celtic deal. So the negotiating position is not weak necessarily. I think there were quotes from the was it his previous club, sort of chief there, talking about, I believe he'll be sold in the summer. There were talks in the last window, but he didn't want to be sold. Celtic offered him a contract extension. I know he didn't agree because he wants to be sold. So this sort of third party's airing Celtic and Abada's negotiations, if that's an accurate, you know, representation of what's going on.
Yeah, we'll need to wait and see what develops through this story, Gordon. I'm sure Abada is quite happy at Celtic. I think he would probably want, like every other player, more game time, as in starting the big games. Because when it comes to the big games for Postecoglou, his front three usually Maeda, Jota and Kyogo. But Abada, as Mark quite rightly pointed out, has played such an important role in Celtic's success under Ange Postecoglou. Terrific young player, will only get better. But we all know, if the English clubs come calling and the money's there, the wages and whatever, every player's entitled to sit down and listen to what they have to say, and Abada's no different for me.
I think those comments, Jim, that Ange Postecoglou made at the AGM, it's like we keep coming back to them because they're ringing true. He said, you know, words to the effect of, be prepared to see some of your favourites leave. Next window rolls around, Juranovic gone, Giakoumakis gone, but fine, no fuss, Alistair Johnson, oh, come in. And it just goes quickly and it regenerates quickly. Is that the way you sort of expect this to go on?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. I just think he's fantastic. The way they're running things at the minute is just so different to 18 months ago, where it felt, I'm not saying it was right, but it felt as if we were held over a barrel with Edouard. You know, players like that, who just dragged on and dragged on. And it may not be Abada, it might be his agents and things like that. And if it's not Abada, he could come out and just say, no, I'm happy to stay. And, you know, what are you offering? I'm happy to stay. I'm sure Celtic won't offer him less than what he's on now. I just think they're running it really well. And I said, I wish him all the best if it's true. And if it's not true, then come out and say it. And just say you're happy. You're happy with what you've got, 3-year deal. And then we'll have a look in a couple of years' time, if that's the case, instead of letting the contracts run down. And I'm not mentioning anything, but when you let contracts run down, you're in a mess.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, we did mention that when Ange Postecoglou said it, it just was a bit different. I just never really heard a manager say it in such sort of clear or honest terms, because usually we associate continuity with being a good thing. You know, try and keep the players, try and build, try and allow them to sort of grow with you. But Ange Postecoglou that day just making it clear that the way he felt that Celtic could continue to improve was actually to be, I think the word you used was agile. I've never really heard of that in transfer terms.
Me neither.
They just be quick, be decisive, do it, and if that's the case, fine.
The interesting thing about that day was seeing if he would back it up. And you rightly said there, first window comes around, he backs it up with two big players, you know, two international players who served the club incredibly well in a short space of time, became favourites. There you go, there's the door, we'll take the money, thank you, and we'll move on. So it goes to show you that no player is immune from that. And Abada, one so young, certainly isn't. But Jim's right, and Daz is right. Abada might be happy. Abada might just be sitting there thinking, well, what's going on here? I'm happy to see things for a couple of years. However, if Celtic's got a trading model that they want to move players on, sometimes doesn't he become the player's choice? Sometimes things can get difficult.
Didn't Juranovic make some comments recently having left Celtic? They're not doing an interview.
Well, he says it wasn't made to feel welcome enough or something, or wanted enough, should I say. So Celtic clearly didn't stand still with him. They understood that there might be thoughts of going elsewhere, and Celtic move quickly.
I think, okay, to cash in, and they'll get someone else.
We'll get somebody else. Might be the same with Abada.
But what you're not taking into consideration as well, Abada's a young lad, right? He's making his way into the game. He's a terrific talent. He obviously gets advisors beside him as well, who's obviously sitting down discussing with him. I agree. I like the way football management's done with Postecoglou. Look, if you want to stay, great. If you don't, I'll shake your hand, I'll go and replace you. But for a player, he should have the same rights to say, I'll see you out my contract, I'm here to play, I'll give you my best.
Like we say, it's not like we're talking about running down a last year. We're nowhere near that. Thank you to Jim. What about Alan, who's a Celtic fan? What's your take on this, Alan?
I've seen this, looked at this sort of situation for quite some time, and I don't think Abada would be restless because of money. He's a young lad. He's come over from Israel. He'll be earning a lot more than what he was earning at home. But he's not playing enough. He's not starting enough. And I see the whole situation as a problem with the manager, and I hope to God the manager's not listening, because I'd hate to say anything that would upset Ange Postecoglou. But the persistence in playing Daizen Maeda on the left is pushing Jota, whose preferred position is on the left, onto the right. It's keeping Haksabanovic on the bench, and because Jota's playing on the right, that's keeping Abada on the bench. Now, for me, that would be fair enough if Daizen Maeda was the better out of the four players. But I think he's the least capable out of the four players. I think he lacks even the basics to be a good football player. In the League Cup final against Rangers, he ran the ball out of play on three occasions, because he was unable to control the ball, before Greg Taylor actually got the first cross of the game in down the left-hand side, which was Maeda's job, but it took Greg Taylor to get that ball in. And even when the ball came in, Maeda miskicked it before Kyogo put it in the back of the net. So that's on four occasions when I'm feeling that game there, that even the most basic of football skills, he's not been able to control the ball.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one, Gordon. What do you make of him as a player, quite simply, if that's how we should start a lot of these discussions?
I take on board what Alan was saying. Sometimes you see him, but you can flip that and say, well, what about the time at Easter Road when he picks the ball up, cuts inside, and he buries one in the top bin? He's certainly got a lot of talent. He's got bags of pace. He works his socks off for the team. I know what Alan's saying about, because I'm Haksabanovic, I think, brings so much. Now, you can go back to Tynecastle where everybody says, oh, he didn't play particularly well, he got an opportunity. But the boy had been starved of football. He's come on, he scored a couple of crackers for Celtic in recent weeks. You've got, obviously, Abada there. He's got a lot of riches there to pick from. But Ange Postecoglou seems to go with Maeda, Jota and Kyogo. And let's be honest, it's not failed him.
Yeah, and I mean, Mark, he has played. Now, I take Alan's point, whether there are as many starts in this as he would like, I don't know. Only Leo Labada could answer that. 41 appearances for Celtic this season.
This is Maeda.
Abada.
Abada, right.
And we're only, 21st of March, 41 appearances. Like I say, we never know how unhappy, and I put that in quotation marks, which you can't see on radio, it doesn't really work, because this doesn't necessarily mean that Abada's distraught, he's unhappy, he's desperate to leave. If anything, you could spin it the other way and say, well, do you know what, he feels that he's actually done quite well at Celtic, he feels like he could get a good move, he's not going to extend his contract, and then Celtic will listen to bids for him in the summer where there's a few years left.
Listen, I think he will be happy, but I'm with us, any player, especially attacking players at Celtic, want to start games. I get that Ange Postecoglou's model, it works, that it comes to 60 minute mark, you've got this half hour where he'll unleash another three attackers and, you know, they get to run amok against a tired defence. Some players might like that. I think the majority of players would rather start the game and come off at 60 minutes, and that's the only bit that's missing for Abada. And the points that Alan was making, I'm pretty sure it's not lost in Abada. I don't think he'll be causing any trouble, but if he's being honest and he's sitting on the bench and watching some performances for the people who are in front of him, like Maeda, sometimes looks a bit rough on the edges, I'll give him that, then of course he'll be frustrated. But in terms of Postecoglou picking the wrong team and picking Maeda constantly, Daz made it 93 goals, doesn't he, lie? That tells a story. It's often the right.
Thank you, Alan. It's that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. That was a quick first hour, by the way.
Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Question one on Beat the Pundit is, what size Scotland top would Gordon DL be if he were to buy it? So you can get googling that before the news. It's 01419511025. And if you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, a very popular night for some reason, you need to get your call in before 7 o'clock. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. I've never, ever been so glad to have the news come to an end and get back to the show, because with 5 seconds left, just as it was saying Super Scoreboard, Gordon DL leaned over to Mark Wilson and asked what manscaping was, and I'm just glad I didn't need to hang around to hear the answer. So
I don't need a strummer for you.
Well, we just move on before you get yourselves in any
head strummer
in any bother. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. That not made its way to men of your generation, no? Is that you too old school for that?
Invited me to that. I mean? Thought it was gardening.
No, invited you to what?
I didn't. I thought I had to go with a hoe.
What do you mean invited?
Well, he says to me, can you come to the office?
What?
For a haircut.
What are you on about?
I don't know, he's made up.
Don't tell lies.
I definitely didn't say that.
Asked. He's going to do it.
I don't know he's doing it. No, I've no idea.
I'm not doing it.
I get caught up in the middle of it. You come on too early, we'll get to it the next
I'll be able to arrange a manscaping session for you. But I didn't at once say I would do it.
He mentioned a barber haircut, and then obviously
is it some sort of charity?
Charity,
I didn't know they did that for charity. To be honest,
what do I need to wear?
It's a good company. Good.
New Scotland shorts. New Scotland shorts. I've heard they're very baggy.
I need that.
So you'll be fine.
So I can wear you go.
Anyway, 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. A lot of calls about the new Scotland strip. Would you believe, and the pricing of it, and that sort of thing. Then we moved on to Liel Abada, stories about him potentially being sold in the summer if he doesn't want to sign a new long-term extension. So if you've any thoughts on those topics, feel free. Always good to keep them going and get a bit of balance. That's absolutely fine. If you want to move it on, you can do. Let's talk something else. What would you fancy? Some interesting comments from the Scotland camp today about them moving training venue. Some strong words about the previous venue, Orium. Coach John Carver with some very strong comments on that. We've got a new name, if you like, in the setup. Dominic Hyam of Blackburn has been called up to bolster the defensive options. I'll get you the inside track on him from an expert very soon. Don't worry, it's not Gordon DL or Mark Wilson. But let's play Beat the Pundit first with Sean and Paisley. How's it going, Sean?
All right, Gordon, mate, how's it going?
Not bad, Sean. Have you ever played before?
No, I've not.
Who would you rather play out of these two?
Mark. I'm a big Celtic fan.
Oh, there we are. At least somebody remembers.
Thank you, Sean. Wants Thank you to play Mark.
See, just on that, right? That's something I want. Sorry to keep Sean hanging because I know that we're going to move on to Beat the Pundit, but I couldn't help but think of you today when I noticed of all the other names that are getting called up to play in this Celtic Liverpool Legends game. You are honestly. At the start, I got it right.
Shadouri.
With no disrespect to these people, right? I'm sorry to offend if you're listening. Niall McGinn.
Yeah. Good player.
Lee Naylor.
Naylor's a top player.
I'm not saying he wasn't a good player, but I'm talking about, like, where is your invite? What does this say about the esteem?
Must have lost my address when I moved to
Niall McGinn. I mean, I know you play in a different position.
They must have just. I think they've got a pretty good right back in there already. Have
they forgotten about?
I think they got Lustig in there, didn't they?
But you could sit on the bench.
I think it's you know maybe, how you do that.
Maybe because
you're good at that.
Because
I'm actually expecting that tonight. Can you make it? But
I asked him about this a couple of weeks ago, someone said, I think they're trying to pick some of the younger players. You know, I think that's what it is. Then I saw Ramon Vega had been called up as well, and I thought,
hold on a minute, is Vega playing?
You're getting hard up by here.
That's outrageous.
Where is the game? Anfield.
It's Anfield. So it's not like public park or.
You need to get that one.
How do you think you get it? Samora? Is it not?
I'll take you down.
Sadly, I was at a funeral today and I was speaking to John Clark.
Right, okay.
And John Clark even said to me. He said, "Yo, you playing the game tomorrow?" I said, "No, Clarky, I didn't get a call."
The point I was making is that Sean at least remembers the Celtic connection, and that's why he wants to play at Beat the Pundit. Does that make you feel better?
I'll do hugely.
Thanks, Sean.
Right, heads it will be Mark Wilson. Tails it's Gordon DL, and there you are. He got his wish. It's heads. So Mark,
good luck, Sean.
Good luck, mate.
Right, I'm going to give Mark some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that he can't hear what's going on. 30 seconds on the clock, Sean. Just answer as many as you can, and you're fine to pass and move on if you want, okay?
There you go.
Right, let's do it. 30 seconds starts now. Name either player who was added to the Scotland squad today.
Anthony Ralston.
Name any player in the Scottish Premiership who was sent off at the weekend. Yep, nearly. Quick.
Johan.
Ben Davies joined Rangers from which team?
Liverpool.
Who did Celtic beat in the Scottish Cup quarter final? What top flight teams get the lowest goal difference this season?
Dundee United.
Who scored a hat trick in this year's World Cup final?
Mate, Mbappe.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yeah.
One wins it.
Gordon DL, can you do us a
Sean Naughty
a service? Can you go and put that sizeable head of yours in front of the league table? You're going to stand on your tiptoes though. You're not blocking that out.
Can you see that?
Yeah. Anyway, you ready, Mark?
Where are just a study that league table?
You ready?
Okay. Yes.
Same set of questions. Okay. Let's do it. Name either player added to the Scotland squad today.
Ralston.
Name any player in the Scottish Premiership who was sent off at the weekend.
Oh, Ewan.
Ben Davies joined Rangers from which team?
Preston.
Who did Celtic beat in the Scottish Cup quarter final?
St. Mirren.
Oh no. Which top flight team currently has the lowest goal difference this season?
It's got to be Hearts.
Who scored a hat trick in this year's World Cup final?
Oh, Mbappe.
What do you think, Sean?
Tight, very tight there.
Oh, I hate when they say that.
Do you know what I didn't like, Gordon? I did not like your assessment. You said to Mark before that started that a one would win it. Did you not listen to Sean?
I was only
waiting. Easy, man, come on.
Exactly, Sean.
Sorry, Sean.
Name either player who was added to the squad today, Anthony Ralston or Dominic Hayam. You both got it. Name any player sent off at the weekend.
Slattery
or Ewan. Both got it.
Good,
pretty
Sean.
Simple stuff for me and Sean here.
Yeah, Ben Davies joined from Liverpool.
Was he on loan at Preston?
He was at Preston before that.
Yeah. Was he? Sean, how'd Sean do with that?
Sean got it.
Ah, well done, Sean.
He's good.
He also remembers last week that Celtic beat Hearts. You know,
no, I was confused.
So he's two up. The lowest goal difference is Kilmarnock. None of you got it.
Oh.
And Mbappe got a World Cup hat trick, and you both got it. Sean wins by two. Well done to you, Sean.
That's for that old fun goal, Mark.
Sean, do you want to trade the win for
I like Sean's style. Do you realise you just lost at Beat the Pundit to the most laid back man in Glasgow in the West?
He's in his bed just lying.
Sean, does anything get you excited?
That's for knocking sass up ass.
No worries, Sean. Start to wonder if it's more than just being laid back, quite frankly.
You at the Snoop Dogg concert last week by
Don't answer that, Sean. Don't answer it. Anyway, well done. The ball is on its way.
What a guy. I like Sean's style.
Oh, I tell you what, he was good.
He just took his time.
Much better than you, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. I didn't hear the answers, but
I think Sean took his time doing most things.
Back, Sean.
I'm glad I made him happy. He's back.
That was bad for you.
That was a bad performance, but I couldn't have lost to a better guy.
I think you'll enjoy that one.
Was your score there 5-3? It was a good game.
Yeah, 5-3. Yeah.
Five?
Sean knew stuff.
He certainly did.
Yep. Can I believe that Hearts won?
I can't believe Liverpool, Ben Davis.
I was trying to be too smart there. I thought he was.
Did they go back to Preston on loan from Liverpool?
Yeah, I think he did. So technically, I would be right, but still.
I don't know about that.
Didn't he get to me? I think he just lured me. Didn't he his level? I got too relaxed.
Anyway, 01419511025. Let me just check if we had an invite for you to play the Legends game yet. No.
Wait, who else is on that list? I mean, can it be mixed?
A lot of these guys are good players. I just thought it was really humorous about the age thing. Because whoever told you or whoever told me that they were going to, were just trying to get some of the youngsters involved.
The thing was, I played in the Masters in the summer, I was probably the standout player. Scored.
Maybe that's what's got you kicked out.
Fludge on it as well. He's playing. Well, Fludge playing.
01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in John, who is on the line. How are you, John?
Not bad, mate. It's about a bad. If he's getting off for 10 million, I'd bite on half you for 10 million. I've been watching the boy for about 18 months now, 2 years. See, his first touch was atrocious. His crossing's even worse. You can't get into our first 11 in the Celtic team. Now, they're going to get 10 million. As I say, you see that one, I was on Saturday, I was going to see if I wanted him in the Rangers game, the fortnight against through and that goal, and he'd have stumbled, and it was nothing each, and he could have bust the net, and he missed that. As I say, you can't get a game, so if they're going to go off for 10 million for a guy, you can't get in for the start of 11, that would put you on off you.
Wow, I must admit, John, I was under the impression, I just thought all Celtic fans really liked him, and realised that he was, you know, what is he, 21? He's 21, not 22 till October. He's scored a lot of important goals. He's done well, has he not?
But he's only going. He's like James Forrest, mate. He's great for one game, and he's rotten for the next six. I watched him for about 18 months. See, his crossing's atrocious. His first touch is atrocious. All right, he scored a few important goals, but as I say, they've gone for 10 million for a 21-year-old that can't get into starting 11. That's a steal.
I mean, I guess, technically, I won't split hairs with John. I get it, because a lot of people feel that if there was a sort of must-win game, a cup final or whatever, Maeda would possibly get the nod. But would we use the phrase, can't get in the team? Do you see what I mean? I know that John's technically right, but to repeat it, he's got 41 appearances. Mm-hmm. He has started big games for Celtic. He's scored big goals against Rangers, notably, and... you know, some sort of memorable ones on the way to the title last season. Has John not been a bit harsh?
It's incredible that we've had two Celtic supporters on. One having a go at Maeda, one having a go at Abada. It's opinions. I can see John's point of view at times, because Abada does come on or he starts a game and he frustrates you a little bit. But he's a young lad that's got bags of talent. For me, he's only going to get better, Gordon. Now, I'm not going to put the price tag of the 10 million. That's reported out there. Where I will agree with John is, if somebody offered me 10 million for him and I was in a situation where I could either keep him or sell him, I would certainly be John. I would take the 10 million. Of course I would. But I just think he's got bags of, what we'll call it, potential. I think he's got everything in his locker. Does he have his off days? Of course he does. Does he have days where you think, you know, he's absolutely terrific. He's scored the goals in the big games. He's come on to games and changed games. He's played through the middle. I just think he's got a lot to offer. But I cannot, look, every player's inconsistent. There's no a lot of, like, say, Callum McGregor's out there that you get the same performance probably week in, week out, especially in the forward areas, especially in the wide areas as well. But I think Abada's got very, very good talent.
I'm not saying it's all, everything simply has to be about numbers, Mark, and you can't bring anything else into the equation. But it just feels like to ignore the contribution of goals and assists and talk about touch and cross, it just seems a bit unfair maybe on a young
Certainly
player.
Is. I think it is. I think John has been unfair. I don't think Abada has created the story in any way that he wants to go. That's my opinion on the player himself. I think he's contributed to Ange Postecoglou's team, his style, the way he just gets home his business. He doesn't sulk. You don't hear any stories about him off the pitch. I think he's served the club brilliantly. Now, like, could his touch be better? I probably could. Could his crossing be better? Yeah, I would say so. But then he probably wouldn't be at Celtic. You know what I mean? You get a winger whose touch is immaculate, his crossing's unbelievable, and can add
goals.
He scores
double figures every season.
He's playing for Real Madrid. He's playing for Barcelona. He isn't playing for Celtic, whether Celtic fans like to hear that or not. That's just the food chain of football.
John,
so he will improve.
John, you think Abada, you think Maeda's better than Abada?
I never say so, but I've already seen four or five guys laying Celtic. Edward, is it Edward? It's Crystal Palace boy.
Yes.
Christie, Aya. None of them's done nothing in England. None of them's done nothing. They've been doing there, we get mega money for them, and not one of them has kicked the ball. Oh, I've not heard about any of them laying Celtic to get down there.
I mean, again, in terms of not kicked a ball, I think Christopher Ayer's had most of this season injured, I think, hasn't he? Again, yeah, Hudson Edouard did fall out of favour there under Patrick Vieira, and I'm sure doesn't have the goals return he'd want, but I don't know if he's not kicked a ball. It's probably a bit of
again,
a stretch. I don't really know what link that has to Abada anyway, but to answer the point.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what relevance it does have. Maybe making the point that if you leave Celtic, the grass isn't always greener, but you need to understand that they're going to a much more difficult league coming up against top opponents every single week. So the return in the forward areas isn't going to be what it was. Edward and Christie and Ayer could probably argue when they did play that they've been playing fine. But strikers will always get judged in their goals. Wingers will always get judged in their final contribution and numbers. But I think Abada can be proud. His numbers here for Celtic.
I was going to say, on a purely numbers basis, Gordon, and if we're talking about for players, the grass is not always greener. What about in terms of the grass might not always be greener in terms of Abada's replacement? You could chuck a good few million quid at a winger who doesn't give you the return he does, surely.
100%. And I think Abada, my argument is I think Abada will get better and better. He's 21 years age, 22 this year. He's learning all the time. He must be a little bit frustrated. Of course, every player is. You know, if you play in a team of Celtic's quality and you see what's getting picked in front of you, you're coming on. But as a substitute, especially in the Celtic team, you're a very important player to Postecoglou because you're going there to change the game, you're going there to score more goals or whatever it may be, and that tends to happen. I think Abada will get better and better with more game time, you know, a bit, you know, maturing into being a, you know, a professional footballer, 22, 23, 24. And he's worth maybe more, I don't know. But
remember, he doesn't just play off a wide area as well. He's you know, been the pinpoint of the attack sometimes as well. So that for a young man can't be easy. Would you see James Forrest going doing that? Would you even see Jota playing up front on his own? I don't think you would. It takes a certain player to understand those positions. He's one of them.
Thank you, John. All about opinions, as the old saying goes. 01419511025. We'll get you a teaser, we'll get you the inside track on one of Scotland's latest call-ups as well, and anything else you've got for us. In fact, I'll definitely play you those quite scathing comments from John Carver, the Scotland coach. We'll do that next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We've got a full-time teaser for Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. And by the way, you can send them in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Facebook.com. Danny has sent this in. So thank you to Danny, all the way from Barrow and Furness, has sent it in. Wants to know if you can name the 10 most recent ex-Rangers players to score a hat-trick for the club. Okay, so the
Defoe.
10, let me finish. The 10 most recent ex-Rangers players to score a hat-trick for the club.
Defoe?
Which, Danny's getting me very worried because Defoe's not on the list, but he definitely did, didn't he?
Sakala then?
Is he an ex-Rangers player, is he?
Oh, ex, sorry.
Come on.
Boyd must have scored a hat-trick.
Yes,
he scored five, didn't he? Kenny Miller.
Yep.
And one more guess.
Naismith.
No.
Lafferty.
No. One more guess from you, Mark.
I'll go Purcell.
No. All right.
Jelvic.
No, that's enough. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's where Danny sent his question in. So it's fulltime@Clyde1.com. I think that's a fairly straightforward one for you tonight. We'll try and work through the answers, and if you've got any ideas, get your thinking caps on and send them over to me, and we'll take a look. Even if it's just an idea, you know, that would be
Black on one.
I'm just turning your mic off. I'm not accepting any answers at the moment. Defoe is one, right? So I don't know why Danny, or how Danny managed to miss that off. But there we go. Right, keep your calls coming in. Going to get some interesting stuff from the Scotland camp very soon. Let's take one more from Peter though, who is on the line. Peter, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Gordon. And hello, Gordon and Mark. Thank you for having me on the show.
Pleasure, Peter. What made you call then? Is it this Leo Labada discussion?
Yeah, I can see points with both Celtic fans who were phoning in. One was more in the Abada camp, somebody else more in the Maida camp. My point is that basically they do two different jobs. Maida starts the game, comes on in the first half, and basically what he does is he runs defences ragged. The guy's just a machine. And, you know, when I first seen Maida, I thought, oh, don't know, maybe he likes a little bit of finesse. And then I thought, okay, what's going on here? What's Andrew doing? And I thought, I know what he's doing. He's running defences ragged, because anyone who's played football knows that no matter what level you play at, the second half, the game slows down. So I'm just putting Maida on for the first 60 minutes to absolutely run the defence ragged. And then for the last 30 minutes, they see Abada coming on, they think, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do now? So basically they're doing two different jobs. I love both players. I think Maida, by the way, is absolutely indispensable. If Maida wasn't there to run those defences ragged, I really don't know who would. So I think he's very, very important. I think Abada is very, very important. However, I think Abada is more replaceable than Maida. And I think that if you got 10 million for him, I don't want to see Abada go. I'd rather he stayed and helped us to win whatever in the next few years. But I just think they do two different jobs. That's my point.
Yeah, to be fair, Mark, that's just something that sort of happened because we were talking about Abada. There wasn't necessarily an intention to make people choose between Abada and Maida. I think it's just something that callers brought up and Peter has given his take on it. So
I agree with everything that Peter said there. I think both served their roles particularly well. Maida, got to say, if I'm the right back starting the game against Maida, I would hate it, because the amount of runs he makes in behind, the times he doesn't get the ball, is the times that as a fullback marking him, you're tired, you know, constantly having to chase him and watch over your shoulder, and then come later on in the game, switches, and maybe Jota will trod over there and he's got the skill to drop your shoulder. So Ange Postecoglou is very clever how he uses his players, and I'm sure all his players will know that. I'm sure all these players will know their particular role that they serve in the team. But it doesn't mean they wouldn't be frustrated if they're still sitting on the bench. You know, you can understand your role, but still be frustrated that you want to play and start every game. That's allowed also. So, you know, Abada, I'm with Peter. I hope Abada does stay. I hope he does develop. I hope he gets better in the Champions League and the European stage. And then if he wants to move on further down the line, then so be it.
Postecoglou gives me the impression he's got it down to fine art, in the sense of, you're right, Mark, if you're a substitute, week in, week out mostly, you do get frustrated, especially when you're coming on and contributing. But I think his man management's got the subs feeling like they are such a massive part of the team. And that's good management, i.e., right, when he makes his substitutions, mm-hmm. the three come on. 9 out of 10, Gordon, they're scoring goals, creating goals, changing games, winning games.
The game's also changed a bit as well, hasn't it? Because when we talk about sub appearances, Lila Bada doesn't come on for 2 minutes at the end of games, yeah. really.
He plays a big part in it. And I think he makes the subs feel so, so important. Yes, you do get frustrated because you want to start the game. Of course you do. But if you've got a manager that you're sitting there saying, right, okay, I've got a massive part to play in this today because it is a squad game now. It's not just the starting 11 and gone are the days of maybe two subs, but you can influence that game going on. And usually, as I say, 9 out of 10, Celtic do that with their subs. The minute they put them on, there's a massive impact. They go on and they score goals, they create goals, they up the tempo of the game if it needs be. They put the game out of sight. So that's why they've been successful. And I think that's down to man management. And I think that's keeping that squad happy, and the rotation is obviously suiting them.
Ultimately, Peter, if those reports are true, if he's not that keen on a long extension, he's still got time left in his contract anyway, would you be happy to just take a good price in the summer and move on?
I think you've got to be realistic. That, you know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes with agents. You never really know what's going on. Bought him for $3 million. If you get $10 million, yeah, you've got to be happy. But I'd like to keep him. Can I just say a quick word to Gordon?
Of course.
Gordon, I live down south, but I come from Motherwell.
I'm
a couple of years older than you, but I played many times at the Calder Park against Jervis.
I played with Jeremy.
I scored quite a few goals against them, by the way. You were a couple of years behind me, but you might know a couple of other guys that I played against. I just thought I'd say hi, you know.
Hi, Peter. Yes, I started my career in the Calder Park. I often go back and just stand there and look down that right wing where I used to tear up the ashy park. It's still there, Peter.
I'm sure you do.
No, I don't know.
No, I was going to say. If you see Gordon Dale standing staring around any park, just give me a call and we'll send Mark Wilson to pick him up. Thank you, Peter, on the line. Take one more guess each on this teaser. Looking for the 10 most recent ex-Rangers players to score a hat-trick for the club. You've given me Defoe, Boyd and Miller.
Wycorn.
Yes, Mark.
Novo.
No.
He is not on there. Novo. So we'll leave it there for now. We'll try and get them before at the end of the show. As you heard on Beat the Pundit, there have been two players called into at the Scotland squad today. Now, it goes without saying, as this week goes on, we'll build up a bit more, but I know that lots of you still want to talk your club football early in the week. So Anthony Ralston of Celtic, who everyone knows, and Dominic Hyam of Blackburn is quite an interesting one, because the defensive picture looking a bit different at the moment. You know, you think John Souter's obviously not in at the moment, coming back to fitness, and there's no Scott McKenna in there either, and it's an area that's had to chop and change a little bit. And Jack Hendry dropped out injured, so Dominic Hyam has come into the squad. He used to play for Coventry, he's now at Blackburn, and I know it's not an overly familiar name, so we thought we would try and get you the inside track, just in case you are wondering who he is, what his story is, what his strengths are, if you like. So I caught up just before we come on air with Rich Sharp, who's the Blackburn reporter at the Lancashire Telegraph, and he's going to tell you everything you need to know.
I think it was a bit of a surprise to me and quite a lot of Rovers fans that he wasn't named in the initial squad. I think particularly when we saw, you know, there's a couple of injuries in the squad, we thought that he'd probably get the call up. But yeah, no real surprise, and richly deserved. I don't think you'd find any Rovers fans surprised about the decision to call up Don Hyam, who really has been not just one of the standout performers for Rovers, but really in the Championship ever since his sign this season, and also when he was at Coventry.
What in particular then has caught your eye? How would you maybe describe his playing style? We obviously know that the position, is he particularly physical, particularly good on the ball, a good blend? You know, what would you describe him like?
I think the best way to describe him is that you don't recognise him. He goes through games, you know, so comfortably. He's really dependable. And one of those who's probably not, you know, not got the credit he deserves in some ways, because, you know, he's been so consistent with his performances. you look at him and he's not the biggest, he's not the quickest, he doesn't play 50-yard raking passes, but he does all of that competently, and I think he knows his game so well. He's played at the Championship for a number of years now, and I think he's robust in the way that he very rarely misses games, which in the Championship it's one of the most intense leagues going, so that's a great attribute to have. So I think it's just the all-round package that he brings, and just, you know, the consistency of his performances, and also just how assured he is in everything that he does.
Yeah, I mean, you of course will remember Grant Hanley, I'm sure, who now plays at Norwich. Forgive me, I'm not an expert on the fixtures. I can't remember if you've seen Ryan Porteous of Watford up close and personal yet. But in terms of those type of guys being competition, if you like, you feel like Dom Hyam can, you know, hold his own in that company, and maybe even, you know, force his way into the starting team for Steve Clarke.
Yeah, well, Porteous was one that Rovers tried to sign in January. They bid for him in January. Obviously, they signed Hyam the previous summer, so they could have well ended up with a situation where moving forward, Rovers' defensive partnership could have been Porteous and Hyam. Obviously, Porteous has still gone to Watford, who he played against Rovers in February, and obviously Hanley's well known to Rovers fans. But I think if you look across the Championship, there's not been many more consistent performers than Hyam. So that was why when I saw, obviously, you know, Scott McKenna made that step up to play in the Premier League. Obviously, John Souter as well was somebody else that Rovers went after, not in the squad as well. So I certainly think when you were looking down the names, I think that's why I was probably expecting him to be called up, because of, you know, the competition that he was up against, and obviously thought he could get in ahead of some of them. But obviously he's got his opportunity now, and it's a real chance to impress. And I think something that's worth stressing as well is he really wanted to play for Scotland. He mentioned it in his first press conference when he first signed for Rovers, that it was something, it was international aspirations was something he really held, having, you know, played under 21s football and had a bit of a sniff of that. But I think it was something he was really after. So I'm sure he'll be delighted. It's probably cut short his international break, because the Rovers players have been given some days off to go away. But I'm sure he didn't mind cutting that short to go and get the call up. But no, from my point of view, I'd certainly expect him to be in amongst it. But I know international managers, you know, quite like to favour people who've been in amongst it for a while. So I certainly don't think Dom will be going, you know, there expecting to play every minute of every game. But equally, he'll back his ability that he thinks he can try and force his way in there.
Yeah, that's true. That is a very Steve Clarke thing to do. In terms of whether, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe temperament or that sort of thing, would you have any concerns? You think he'll be able to handle the pressure, I suppose, the expectation of just stepping in there at a big game, maybe at Hampden, the weight of the nation on the shoulders? That's obviously where international football differs a little bit. Is he the right type of character?
Yeah, it's all well and good me saying, you know, he's calm and assured. This is playing, you know, regular Championship football that he's been doing for a few years now. He's thrust him into a different scenario, and could all that change? But he's certainly a level-headed guy. He's not somebody who'll, you know, be getting carried away with, you know, getting called up for the Scotland squad. He'll certainly want more. And obviously he's part of the leadership group at Rovers. He's captain the side as well. So he's assumed a leadership role there. I know at Coventry as well, he was a big figure around the club. He's a well-liked lad. He's not somebody who's going to be brash or anything like that, you know, going in there and really trying to stamp his authority. I think he'll just become part of the group fairly quickly. And it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Like you said, it's the calm persona that he has. I'd expect him to play with that if he does get his opportunity. But it would be a step up, particularly if he gets involved in the Spain game to anything he's played in before. But like I said, his character is certainly one that you'd expect for him to take it all in his stride.
Brilliant. Rich, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. There you are, Mark Wilson. Never let it be said we don't provide a service. Everything you needed to know
Incredible.
About Dominic Hyam.
Terrible for Rich. I hope he's not his Dom's agent.
Yeah.
You know, not the quickest.
Biggest, not the quickest.
Doesn't it?
No, he says he does all
goes
those
unnoticed.
Things competently.
That's why you didn't get picked.
You want your defenders to go under the radar, no? Just do a steady
Rich
job.
Is absolutely sold on the
nonsense. Nonsense. Yeah. I suppose in serious terms, born in Lookers, by the way, just in case you want a bit more background, a Fife boy.
How old is he?
27. Played a lot of Championship football now, yeah, with likes of Coventry, Blackburn. And like I sort of said in there, speaking to Rich Gordon, he's right now he's operating at a similar level to Grant Hanley. If you were a Championship fan, you know, of that league, you would probably say he's having a better season than Grant Hanley. Grant Hanley's got the experience, if you like, and we know that Steve Clarke likes to sort of reward loyalty, but you never know. Dominic Hayam might go from being a fairly unknown name to people north of the border to try and stop Spain in a few days' time.
Yeah, given the opportunity. Remember the night we stood and Portis was named in the Scotland 11, and he was absolutely brilliant. He rose to the occasion. He could be the same, Gordon. I don't think he'll start this Ivorous game, but he'll be a big part of the squad. And if called upon at 27, that's why I asked his age. He's played in that league, bags of experience. Can he take the step up and handle international scene? That's what we've got to see. But, you know, boy, I'll be delighted that he's in the squad and being a part of it.
Yeah, no, I would echo that. And I wish him well. I mean, I don't know how much game time he'll get, but I think when he's playing in that league, hugely competitive, Blackburn having a decent season, fifth, so that tells its story. You know, you come up against a lot of physical players in that league. If you're a defender and holding your own in there, you've got to be decent. So looking forward to seeing him if he gets a shout.
Absolutely. Let's see if you've given us any more on this teaser. We're looking for the 10 most recent ex-Rangers players to score a hat-trick for the club. So Defoe, Boyd, Miller and Waghorn, those were the ones you gave me previously. Have you added anything else to it?
I'm going to shout for Nicky Clark.
It is a wonderful shout. Well done.
Well done.
A league game in 2013, I believe.
De Boer?
No.
I think you're going too far by. I think.
Yeah.
Windass one.
He is. Well done. We'll try and get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. How are you faring on this teaser? We're looking for the 10 most recent ex-Rangers players who scored a hat-trick for the club. Defoe, Boyd, Miller, Waghorn, Clark, Windass. That's six.
I'm going Lee McCulloch.
You should go Lee McCulloch. Well done.
I'm on fire with this.
I'm going to leave it to Mark. You. I'm not really up.
No, well, let's see what Mark can bring us.
Hat trick.
Go down McCoy's Deira.
Alan McCoy's signings.
Yeah.
Fraser Aird.
No.
No.
No. Kevin Kyle.
No.
You step out. Right. Joe Garner.
Oh, whoever's on the text tonight's done a wonderful job. Well,
Mark
will
tell you that phone has not moved.
We'll leave it there. There's two to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Whilst we're on the topic of rhyming off, have you only got one to get?
No, I've got one. Right.
Whilst we're on the topic of rhyming off forgotten figures of Scottish football, right? Honestly, Mark, I'm starting a campaign on your behalf. I'm digging through the list of these Celtic legends that have been asked to play in this game at the expense of you. Whoever told me that it was all that they were trying to get younger players involved has lied. Harold Brattback, who did, you know, memorable things at Celtic, he's 52, right? He's had the nod. You're no playing.
Is he Mark, the pilot?
He's the pilot.
He's flying himself in.
Maybe there's only room for one Mark, because Crossass is playing. You must have played about three times the number of Celtic games.
Oh, but they've went for the looks here. Crossass was a good looking guy. They've went for a certain type, I think
you're being a bit hard.
You've been hard done by.
Maybe you can't get stripped to fam.
It's just been over. Hey,
wee Johnny Clara will be pitching up there.
I've been overlooked. Obviously,
there are people in this team who have no Celtic appearances.
No,
like zero.
It's labelled as a Celtic legends game.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not sure you're one of them either, right? Like,
no,
you know,
no,
I can say
I
that amongst friends
to be, but
I still think you've been hard done by.
To be fair, listen, legend, you know the McStays are in before you.
I think you've been hard done by. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Well, they certainly deserve it. There are legends,
people,
but
there are people that work in the pie stall at Celtic Park that are playing in this game.
Hoopie
is in the number 10 role, just off the striker. And you are in here with us.
Listen, if anybody drops it injured, you know the number. 0141 951.
Too late.
When they go.
Out of principle.
I'm not going, even if they ask me.
I
would love somebody to phone him up tonight and ask him to go.
I forgot.
Anyway, let's I'm going to play this because I just think I'm very interested in the comments, the strength of the comment. I'm not sure it's the type of thing that fans, I don't know if fans care that much about where Scotland train, right? But I do still think this is quite interesting. So generally for the last few years, they've been based at Orium. They can stay at Orium. There's the hotel. They train there. They do their media there. And they'll obviously come through to Glasgow maybe the night before the game or for whatever the games are. But they've now been training today at Lesser Hampden in the new pitch there that Queen's Park are building. And John Carver, Scotland coach, was on media duties today, and he had a real old pop at Orium and said it was a safety hazard, which is quite remarkable. And he says they've moved now to Lesser Hampden, where the surface is a Premier League standard.
Facility that we've trained on this morning, inside the dressing rooms, I don't know if you guys have seen it, is amazing. But the amount of people that have done so much hard work behind the scenes, again, is incredible, considering it's Queen's Park's facility. The surface, and I'll give you a great example, the surface is Premier League standard, right? We haven't had one player slip on the surface this morning. With all due respect, again, to Orium, the surface there, for me, it was a safety hazard. It was a health risk. And I'm surprised we didn't get any really serious injuries from it, especially the pace and the tempo that these guys were playing at and not playing at now. And it was a big concern, a huge concern.
Many players raised concerns about it.
Yeah, nearly every one of them. And we've seen it. So we were having to curtail the training sometimes because, you know, they're very competitive. And we were having to say, look, just take it easy, And certain sessions you did, shooting sessions, defending, very, very difficult.
I do love when people say that, with all due respect to Orium, or with no offence to Orium, it was a health hazard and a safety risk or whatever it was. Wow. Yeah, none taken.
It's a bit strong. It was a bit strong in both ways. A bit strong against the Orium and saying it was a health hazard, and a bit strong in saying that the outstanding work that's went in has made this facility,
For what it's worth, the strength of language, fine, but look, there are obviously concerns. There is an obvious desire there amongst the coaching staff, and what we're led to believe, certain players or a lot of players, that they wanted a better training surface, right? So maybe the ball does go into Orium's court in that regard. Are there plans to upgrade it at any point? I know there are logistical issues with the hotel. For instance, it can be full, it can be booked, and then Scotland, like right now, for instance, are staying in Glasgow because they can't get into the hotel at Orium. Scotland Rugby use it. Hearts obviously use it. There's a lot going on there. But it was just very strong.
I'm quite surprised you went down that road, Gordon. Yeah, you can, behind closed doors, you're not happy with some training facilities. You can, look, they've went to Lesser Hampden, delighted with that. Why not just come out and say, look, we've had a great day today, the facilities here are brilliant, X, Y and Z. You don't really need to go. I thought he was a bit over the top with Orium. Okay,
he would, I'm sure, just say, well, just being honest, that's the way we felt. That's the way the, what do you mean, how's it over the top then?
Puts the Orium in a position when they've got future bookings to consider. The team's listening to that and thinking, well, will we take our team there to the Orium? Well, I've heard it's a health risk to the players, so no, let's go elsewhere.
Interesting, because Hearts currently do train there on a different pitch, it should be said. Mm-hmm. But also, the logic would follow that the Scotland pitch at Orium, which there is, they've got their kind of private pitch there. Well, you'd imagine that would be the best of the pitches. But look, it's obviously not. They're obviously the players aren't enjoying it the way they should. And like I say, there are other issues with the certain logistics about the facility. So whether we see that as being a permanent move to Glasgow now or not, will only time will tell.
Well, I don't know if they'll be welcome back to the Orium, well, man.
Well, I mean, there'll be contractual obligations, I guess. Yeah, I can't remember at what stage that contract comes to an end.
If I'm sticking up with them, I've been to both. And Lesser Hampden obviously
looks incredible.
Yeah,
I'll say the surface looks unbelievable. Yeah. But then again, it shows you how much layman like me know, because I've stood sort of on the periphery of the pitch, Orium, and it looks good.
Did you slip? Did you go over?
I guess once you're on it and you're operating at the level.
Plus, the fact it's a bit open at the Orium, isn't it? It's a bit open for me. I think the Lesser Hampden gives you that surrounding, gives you that privacy in there. It's a nice stadium.
I mean, the pitch itself, Orium's like fenced off, but I guess there are other, you know, within in the hotel, there are a lot of people moving around, and students at Heriot-Watt and so on.
I like the idea of us being back in Glasgow, in the shadow of the stadium, where it's quite easy, if you want to actually just walk over to the stadium to run through anything, you can. But the facilities at Lesser Hampden just weren't up to scratch for years and years. But now they're there, I think it's right that we use them. The whole thing about the staying, that should have been where the team stays. I think that should have been sorted years ago. Moving from, what was it, Marhall, Cameron House, Orium, now well, it's back.
I think the idea of Orium is that you would stay on site, yeah. But you know, if there's Scotland Rugby are in there at times, Scotland Women's Rugby in there at times, you've got, you know, a lot going on. I think that's the difficulty.
Yeah, but hopefully we get a settled base where we can use Lesser Hampden, get a settled place for the players to stay. Everybody's happy with it, and it's in the shadow of the National Stadium. I think it's the right call. I don't think the Orion will right enough.
Ryan says he's going to that game on Saturday. There's a couple of spare seats in the bus, but you will be judged if you turn up with your boots to the charity game.
What's it on Saturday?
Right,
quickly, still time.
Quickly. Couple more then. I've got one.
Jason Cummings.
Brilliant in the Scottish Cup. Well done.
Well done. I'm struggling for the last one. Yeah. I've one to go. I've given everything here.
Okay. He also played for Hibs and Kilmarnock.
Got it.
Steady on, you'll bust my eardrums there. Go on then.
I'll play the music so I can go out in a high. His father's a famous manager. Correct?
Just answer the question, man.
Dean Shields.
Well done.
I've got that.
Thank you, Mark and Gordon. Thank you for listening. We are back tomorrow with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly. And Callum Gallagher is up next.